Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servididio, and I am your host. I have such an exciting show for us tonight. I have one of our guests on the phone tonight. His name is Reverend Danny Garcia, and he just finished a walk of prayer, a prayer walk, in Washington, D.C. in Congress, and it's been a very exciting journey for him. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming tonight, Reverend Danny Garcia.
Praise God. Thank you. It's great to be here and be a part of this interview. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know it happened so quickly. It was put together so quickly, but I'm so happy you were able to give us some time tonight and speak with us. So let some of our listeners know what exactly was going on yesterday. I know you were up at Congress.
Yes, I had the opportunity of doing a walk in the Capitol. I was given permission to do that, and I was literally taken around and shown, I mean, a lot of very interesting places. I guess some of the places visitors, you know, are not allowed to see or don't see or whatever, but I was given God's favor to go into certain places and to pray in certain places throughout the Capitol. It was an education as well as a great opportunity to pray for our leaders, you know, and then he's all the way from the top to the bottom, and according to the Bible, we're commanded to do that, to pray for our leaders, and to pray for all the people who are visiting. There's people there from all over the world. Now, I didn't go advertising this because there are times that I believe in prayer that God is a personal relationship, and so it's a matter of me talking to God, spirit to spirit,
wow.
and more listening than actually talking.
Okay. And I think that's such an important point that you made about really listening instead of talking and really connecting to God through prayer and through self-reflection.
Yeah, you know what, Alexis, I can't trust myself. You know, I have to lean on God and His Word. His Word is life to me. Yeah. I couldn't do it without Him. I have gone through that. There was a time in my life, my early years, where I really didn't know God. I really didn't have a relationship with Him. He was trying to communicate with me, but I didn't want anything. I just didn't want to hear it. I was too busy doing my own thing.
So what do you think was a changing point for you where it just kind of hit you that you need to really listen and connect more with God?
I remember it as if it was yesterday. It was about 30 years ago, I guess. I was not a minister at that time. I was doing concerts, producing concerts, and I was way off in the things of the world, the things of man, party, drugs, women, you know, all those things that we think, you know, really fill the void.
Mm-hmm.
One day, I was in my living room, and I was using drugs. I was using amphetamines and marijuana and so forth. And I felt my spirit was leaving my body. I didn't understand what was going on because I'd never experienced this feeling before. But I felt that my spirit was actually leaving my body. And I experienced something called fear of death. I heard a voice, and the voice said, "Which will you choose, life or death? You must choose now." I know from my background in my early years of going to Catholic school that I was taught the Bible, and I was taught of heaven and hell, etc. And so I was afraid at that moment, and I knew, in fact, at that moment, I was in my early 30s, I knew at that moment that if I died, I would go to hell. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't control just that feeling of my spirit leaving my body and me dying. So I screamed, "Jesus, save me." I didn't say it a lot of times. I didn't say that me was a prayer. It was, Jesus, save me, and I screamed it. And my spirit jumped back into my body. And just prior to that, I had the voice had also said, which way do you choose, life or death? And that's when I said, I screamed, Jesus, save me. My girlfriend came out of the room and was kind of a little bit hysterical and concerned and afraid, and called the paramedics. They rushed me to the hospital. They shot me up with all kinds of things, valium and all kinds of things. And for 1 year, I was a vegetable. I couldn't function. I couldn't walk. I could walk, but I couldn't walk properly. Mm-hmm. I would have to hold on to the wall, or I'd have to hold on to somebody. There was a tremendous amount of fear, anxiety, fear of death. So after a year, during that year, I remember I really wanted to commit suicide. I didn't do it, but I had thoughts of it because I didn't want to live like this. And it was at that time that I ended up going to a church. It happened to be a Catholic church, and there were a group of charismatics. And they prayed over me. They laid hands on me, and whatever was in me, which I think was that spirit of death, came out of me, and the spirit of the Lord was in me. From that point, my whole life changed. It was a dramatic experience. The Word of God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Word also says that anyone that calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. I didn't know that then. I didn't know anything. And I started to learn from that point, not just about the things of the world, the things that we can see, but more about the spiritual world.
Yes, and it's such a powerful story, such a powerful journey that you went on. And a lot of times on my show, I have a lot of questions from listeners that are going through a really dramatic, very drastic change in their life, and they're at a crossroads to choose either to heal, for growth, or to decline and stay in the addiction or stay in the abuse. And I really feel that your story is so inspiring. It gave me chills. I mean, it's such an amazing journey, such an amazing, amazing testament to God. And for you and for growth, that is going to help so many listeners to really realize that it is just calling out to God and having that faith in, you know, sometimes we don't see what we have faith in, but I think it's that having faith and saying, you know, I don't want to live like this anymore, and getting the strength from God to move forward and to start living, you know, in a healthier manner.
Amen. You know, we hear, even from the time that I was a kid in Catholic school, we hear that God loves us. That's what they say. But I don't think we know what love really is. You know, I mean, today I believe that love is God. That He is love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4-8, it says that love is patient. God is definitely patient with us. Love suffers long. Mm-hmm. Love is kind, and love puts the other person first before you. And it also says in the end that love conquers all. I've seen it. I've walked it around the world. As I have walked by foot more than 26,000 miles, literally, by foot around the world, 5 continents, I've walked in His love. I've had people ask me, well, how do you communicate with people there from different languages? There's also the language of love. They understand that. Everybody understands it. I don't care if you've been, abused, or, you know, you've gone through different kinds of tragedies or whatever. You know when somebody really loves you because they're putting you first before themselves.
Wow. What inspired you to do your first walk? What year was your first walk, and what was it about?
That was in 1996. It was December of 1996, and I was living in San Diego, and I was going through a divorce. And for you people out there, you know what that is. That's like, it's like being torn apart, both in the flesh, but more so in the spirit. Because when you say I do, you don't just say I do to your partner, you say I do to God. So there's a spiritual surgery that's cutting that's taking place. I didn't know this, I know it now. And I was lost. And my wife knows that she wanted another life, that she didn't want me to be her partner and mate anymore. And I tried to fight it. I tried everything I knew for quite some time. We were together for 24 years. And I went through that. And anyway, I reached the point where she was going to get the divorce, and it was processed. And at that point, I didn't know what to do with myself, and I didn't want to live anymore. So I went to San Francisco, and I knew that I was going to start walking. But walking where? Walking from San Francisco to San Diego, hoping that a car or a truck would hit me on the road. That's what was going through my mind.
Wow.
And I got there, I started from Planet Hollywood, and I just started walking. And I remember that day it was raining. I had $48 in my pocket because I had given up everything. I started walking from San Francisco from Planet Hollywood to San Diego. You know, I really must have been crazy. I mean, I was the cause. I was the victim. I was the problem. And I was the one that needed healing. And I told God, if anybody's going to give me life, the only one that can give me life is you, because you're the one that started it. And you're the one that, takes it. So, as I started walking, it was raining that whole day. And after walking for about 10 or 12 hours, I ended up in Half Moon Bay, and I was soaking wet, and I had $48 in my pocket. I didn't realize that. I didn't think. And no cars had hit me, although, there was some close calls, but I ended up at a hotel, and it was an expensive hotel. It was a Half Moon Bay hotel. I'll always remember that, because it was my first place that I stopped. And I told him, I went in my pocket, and I said, I'd like a room. And I realized I didn't have any credit cards, I didn't have any money, I didn't have $48, and I said, oh my God, I don't have nothing, and I started to tell him my story. And I said, but I have a friend of mine in San Diego who's called, his name is New York Life, and he is an owner of Harley Davidson there, and he moved to buy me together on a peace mission, and he's a former airborne, he's the 101st airborne. But anyway, we talked. And on the phone with Mike, and we know Mike spoke to the money. He said, give him the hotel. Give him, I'll pay for it.
Wow.
Take my credit. And then that's when the manager said, his money's no good. He's going to stay here free at my expense. He can eat and stay now as long as he needs to.
Wow.
And I did. I stayed there for about 2 days. And they wanted me, somebody had called the Marines. And there was Marines in San Diego, ended up coming up with Humvees. They told me, don't go anywhere because it's dangerous. You're going to get hit by cars and so forth. And no, we don't stay there. And you're a former Marine. And that changed a lot of stuff. Because now you had support. You had your brother Marines that, and I wasn't in the Marine Corps at the time. I was a civilian. But once you're a Marine, you're always lying.
Yes.
There is a brotherhood there that, I just, they're faithful, Central 5, always faithful. Sure. I don't care who you are, I don't care where you're at, if you've been in the Marine Corps, you're a brother, your sister, in the Marines.
Yeah, and I think that brings up also a very great point about really accepting support from others, and that a community or just that one person can be that turning point, that kind of person to lean on to change your struggle and make it more into a growth and really give you the hope and the encouragement to keep going where you're going. Because I know a lot of times some of my listeners are so caught up in what's going on and they start to isolate and they start cutting everybody off. And I always tell them isolation is kind of, it starts that decline, and you really need to have other people around you to reach around, you know, reach out to people that you trust to gain support, to have, you know, to have friends or family to help you through the struggle, that it's not something to go through alone. And it doesn't mean that you're weak or you're not good enough because you can't conquer this addiction, you can't get out of this abusive relationship. You know, we're all human. We need support from each other. We need support from God. And asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength.
Yeah, and the Bible says that when you are at your weakest point, that is when God is the strongest working in you. He says, fear not, because I'm with you. And he says, I will never leave you. I will always be with you, even until the end of time. I have walked my foot around the world, living that. I've come to a point that I know that I'm a sinner. And it's only his grace that has saved me and continues to save me physically as well as spiritually. As I am here today, alive at 69 years old. Alexis, how does a man walk around the world at 69 years? How do you walk 40, 50 miles a day? How do you do that? How do you do that without any money?
Yeah, through God. And why?
That's the only way, Alexis. This is what faith is. When you get out of your comfort zone and you step out and you do something that you can't do because you know. And you trust that God can do it. Today, as I was walking in the Capitol, and I was being explained this and that, and we were praying, and started thinking about all the people that go there. I mean, the Capitol is our house. It's your house. And it's so important. You know, I look at the world the way it is, and I see the crises in the Middle East and immigration. I see all these things that are going on, but in the Bible it says, Jesus said that these things are going to happen, and it's going to get worse. So for the person that doesn't have God in his life, what do you hold on to?
Yeah.
And if you're afraid, and I think there's so much fear in this world today. Afraid if you don't, afraid if you do, afraid if you can't, even afraid if you can. Because fear is a spirit, and it is the strongest of all the spirits, such as, you know, there's a spirit of confusion, there's a spirit of rebellion, there's doubt, there's all kinds of spirits, but the strongest of those spirits is the strong man is the spirit of fear. And if the spirit of fear can entangle you, as he did me, he grabbed me physically, tied me up, couldn't think, started doubting, I was confused. I didn't know anything. I was lost. I needed a savior. And I believe that's what this world needs, is a savior.
Wow. I wanted to ask you a question. You said something that really, it hit home for me. It just really actually brought some tears to my eyes. It was very touching when you said that God works with you when you're at your lowest point, or when you kind of are in that state of fear, when you're stuck in that, when you're at the weakest point. Why do you think that?
Because His Word says that.
Okay.
I mean, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps, I had a manual that I had to learn, and I lived by, you know, and the manual taught all kinds of things, how to fire a rifle, how to do everything in the Marine Corps. Well, God has given us a manual for life. But if we don't read the manual, how would we know what to do? I mean, we're in this world fighting not necessarily a physical battle only because of what goes on in Afghanistan and all the other places, or Iraq or Vietnam. I mean, yeah. Isn't it interesting, too, that it continues, it keeps going on and on, it's one war after another war after another war, after more people get killed and so forth? I mean, I've had friends of mine die in the Vietnam War. But I think in the Bible it talks about, in Ephesians 6:13-17, it says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare. So if you're not using spiritual tactics to fight the battle, you're going to get hurt.
Yes.
You got to know what you're doing today. You can't, and you can't depend on anybody else. You got to depend on what you're reading in the Bible, and you've got to ask God for understanding. We have to run to the Bible, open the Bible up, and read the Bible. And then the Bible will instruct us about everything about what we need to live in this world victoriously. I live victoriously. I walk by faith, but I act on my faith, because faith without action is dead. Do you know what that means? That means that I don't just come up with an idea. I don't just pray. But I have, once I get that clarity, that God tells me, okay, walk. Well, walk where, God? Well, I want you to walk from here to here. For all the walks that I've done, however long or however small, I believe I've been inspired by God.
Wow.
I've learned so much. But I have so much to learn. I feel like I don't know anything.
Wow. That's such an amazing statement. It really makes a lot of sense that, you know, life is always a learning process. There's always so much more to grow, so much more to learn, so much more faith to gain. And that it's always kind of, I say, a work in progress. We're always striving and working, but it's a good thing. It's not, you know, I know we have a lot of struggles. People have struggles in their life, but I find, you know, there are different trials and things that God has put in our life to work through. And usually very things come out of them. You know, it's a lot of blessings come out of pain. And I find that a lot of times getting through that struggle and at those weakest points, calling out to God, is that changing point, that turning around, that turning point in somebody's life.
That's how we grow. That's how we really grow. That's how we really experience knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is something that comes from God. It's supernatural. You have a father, right, Alexis?
Yes.
And I'm sure that many of the people out here that are listening have parents and have fathers. Well, and in many cases, there are fathers that love us, that protect us, that take care of us, that teach us. I mean, there's fathers that don't do that out there, but for the most part of it, there are many that do that, and they want to protect us, and they want to teach us, and that is their responsibility as a father and also as a mother. So that's the way God is. He's our father. He's always there. He loves us more than our parents. He created us. He made us, and he said, I made you perfect in my image. When we start to have a glimpse of knowledge, of understanding, of what it is to know the love of God, we will fall to our knees and we will humble ourselves to him. We will submit. That's what he wants. He wants to give us, everything that he thinks we should have. And that's when I pray according to his will, because my will may not necessarily be good. There may be some bad things that go in it, but his will is perfect. So when I pray also that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer, he gave us the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. It's a universal prayer.
Yes.
It's a prayer that everyone can adapt to, but to me it's a prayer that is complete. Now there is a prayer of when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, like in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, what do you have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, why? He said, what do you mean born again? How can I go back into my mother's womb? He said, I'm not talking about flesh. I'm talking about the Spirit. I'm talking about being born in the Spirit of God. And you do that when you're old enough to make a conscious decision of what you're doing. Because when you do that, your whole life changes. Your whole life changes. I'm telling you, the way you think, the way you feel, your priority then becomes that relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's a prayer, which is called the Sinner's Prayer, that people are led to repeat and share and receive that prayer, but with their heart.
Yes.
God loves us, Alexis.
Yes.
And right now he's here on this phone. And there's people who are hurting. They have a void in their life. They don't know what to do. They've gone to this pastor, they've gone to this priest, they've gone to this rabbi, they've gone to different people. But the void is not fixed.
No.
He is the fixer, not us.
Yes.
So we have to come to him humbly, like a son comes to his father and says, Dad, I need your help.
Yes.
And he's there to give you what you need in order to go on another day and be refreshed.
Yes, and I know yesterday when we spoke, discussing about, you know, how would this interview go today, and I was amazed, and I was very comfortable when you said, let's see where God takes us. You know, really not planning anything and letting God guide the show, guide the topics, guide where we're going. And it's just, it's amazing where he takes you and how he's guided the show so far and just getting the message out there. Because we were discussing about how, you know, we're both, I feel like God is being taken out of everything. And God is not, you know, God is not involved in school. God is not involved in certain things. And I find that when God is being taken out, there's nothing sacred anymore. There's nothing to believe in. There's no hope. There's no faith. And when a person does not have hope or faith or something to believe in, you know, their judgment, their morals, you know, their ability, their accountability to behaving in the right way is, you know, where does it go?
It goes exactly to where it is right now all over the world, where there's chaos, where there's wars, where there's rumors of wars, where there's famine, where there's destruction, where children are dying. Children are not even, you know, it used to be a time where children were overlooked, well, or walked over, and now they're not walked over, they're walked on. Now kids are carrying automatic weapons and they're 8, 9 years old in some countries, and they're killing their parents.
Yes.
I believe that God knew all these things were going to happen. I believe that he has allowed these things to happen because he's coming back and because he's given us all free will. You can do whatever you want to do. That's what you want to do. But I also believe that there is a price that we pay for whatever we do. In other words, whatever we sow, the Bible says, we reap.
Yeah.
Guys that are coming back, our brothers that are coming back from places like Afghanistan or wars and so forth. I was talking to a Marine the other day, a former Marine, and he said he saw a lot of guys commit suicide. A lot of guys come back with that, you know, mental dysfunction. They're out of order. They can't. They're nervous. They're fearful. They can't sleep at night. They got wet dreams. They're, you know, they wake up and their bed is soaking and they're soaking. I mean,
yes, a lot of PTSD.
Yeah, because when you are out there and you go through that, only they know, because I know, because I was a Marine, only they know what it's really like out there. And you know what we out here have to do? We really should and should be praying for them. They need our prayers. I had somebody send an email after they had heard I was doing a walk for Sergeant Tom Ridge, they said, prayers don't work. Is he crazy?
He's crazy. I mean, prayers are so powerful. And personally and professionally, I have seen miracles. I can't even verbalize them. But I think when someone prays and they've had it happen to them, it's something, you just know. It's God. And I find myself saying that on a daily basis. That's you, God, because I know I'm not capable of it. It's just, it's so powerful.
I believe that in the Bible it talks about what God, Jesus, is saying. He's not coming to bring peace. He's coming to bring a sword. And he's causing a separation between those people that are his and those people that are not his. I'm going to just say this. You can believe whatever you want to believe. It's okay with me. Honest. It's your life. It's all your life. I can't change anybody. And my responsibility is to change Danny. That Danny changes. That Danny prays for his brothers and sisters. But that also Danny prays for his enemy. Yeah. And to me, that's where the rubber meets the road. When you can start praying for people that hurt you, people that don't do what you want them to do, people that literally attack you, people that literally scar you, people that literally turn their back on you, people that literally whatever. When you start to pray for them, then the love of God not just comes upon you, but comes upon them.
Yes.
It is a miracle. It is a miracle to have that gift, that spirit, to pray for other people, especially your enemies. Whose enemies? Those, the enemies, the people that they're fighting in Afghanistan? To pray for them. I did a walk in Morocco, from north to south Morocco. They treated me like a king. It was a dangerous trip. I did a walk in Iraq, from Jordan to Iraq. I was abducted in Gaza, where they're bombing today.
Yeah.
I was abducted, not in Gaza, which was in the next city, I believe, which is Rafah. Arafat presented me a medal in Gaza, and then I walked in Rafah, and I was abducted by 2,000 Palestinians at gunpoint because they were angry because the Israeli soldiers had killed a young teenager. And they reacted. They were angry. And here I was walking right into their arms. And they grabbed me and they threw me in a room and they were going to kill me. And I said, Jesus, I need your help. I'm in trouble. After a number of hours, they had found the medal of Arafat. They let me go. I guess they checked me out. Put me in a vehicle and a taxi, and there was a crowd that was still angry, and they were trying to turn the car over and kill me.
How scary.
And I continued to pray, and I said, Jesus, it's not over. I need your help. I need to get out of here. I prayed not audibly, in my spirit, and all of a sudden a group of police came from my left side. And they had batons, and they started to beat the people off the taxi that I was in. At one moment, I saw blood from someone's head run, splash onto the front of the windshield of the taxi I was in. And I heard a voice, and the Spirit of God said, and the blood of Jesus, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. And then the car took off. It was like a movie.
Yes. And I think so many times people get so caught up with, you know, different debates of what people believe in and who their God is, and they kind of fight with each other and make each other these enemies, and they get, you know, trying to get the other person to see their point and attack them because of their faith. And it's such a distraction and such, you know, a disaster going on that happens. Instead of people being able to believe in what they want to believe in, and for us to be able to accept each other instead of be so against each other and fighting, that, you know, where is it that we can have our own opinions, we can believe in our God without being attacked? And I find that recently it's been really, you know, that God has been taken out of so much, and that it's, you kind of get attacked to have a belief in God when, you know, he is what holds this, what he is, this is the world, and his miracles, and the power of prayer.
You're right. On the 22nd of this month, I walked from the Iwo Jima Memorial to the Capitol. And that took me around 2 or 3 hours. And I was praying. I was listening to God, and I was praying, and I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking, but in my prayers I was saying, what's going on in this world? What's going on here? And when I got to the Capitol, I sensed that there is a spirit of division between us in our nation.
Yes.
And we say one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. One God. And yet, there is so much bickering. There's so much arguing. There's so much fighting. I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. It's my way. No, it's you're wrong. A nation is being divided right in front of our eyes. We need to stop it. We need to stop it right now. If we don't have something constructive to say, if we don't know what we're talking about, we need to shut up. I'm going to be honest with you. You wanted me to say the truth, I'm sure.
Yes.
We need to, and I'm not even saying it politely, because no, you say we need to be quiet. No, we need to shut up, because there's too much talking going on, and nobody's listening, nobody's paying attention to the truth. We talk about this land, this person's, and this land being none. It all belongs to God.
Yes.
And when people die, and I attend funerals and do that, and, you know, they can't take it with you. What can you take with you? I've never seen anybody take anything with them. What they do take, and I've seen people die who die peacefully, and I see people who fight right to the end, and they don't die peacefully.
Wow.
And I believe that it's really important to have peace, but I believe that that peace is not just a matter of words. It is a matter of having a relationship, in my opinion, with Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have the peace that passes all understanding. I can walk on waters. I do that by walking around the world without any money.
Yes.
I've had people say, you know, sponsors say, mostly sponsors say, Danny, you can stay here. Don't worry about this hotel. Whether it's a hotel, Holiday Inn, or Radisson, or Intercontinental, or Del Coronado, whatever, God provides everything I need because he owns it all.
Yes.
And I go directly to him in my prayers and what I need, not necessarily what I want, because sometimes I don't know what I want. But if I need something to eat, he provides that. If I need a place to sleep, he provides that. I've had escort vehicles of Marines and police officers around the world, not just in the United States. You know what's really funny, Alexis? I'm treated like a king.
Wow.
In other countries, I'm literally treated like a king. And in the Bible, it says that I'm a priest and I'm a king. I don't drive. I haven't driven since 1996, because everywhere I've gone, I've been escorted or I've been picked up and taken. And the other thing is, God told me don't drive. Walk. Because if you drive, you're not going to walk.
Hmm.
Now, there was something I wanted to say. You're my sister. I don't know you. I've never seen you, right? We've never seen each other.
No.
We just talked yesterday for the first time. That is the way it happened to me with Sergeant Tamarisi.
Yes, I wanted to go into that. Please tell us about Sergeant Andrew.
I saw something on TV, on the news. My God, I was touched. I mean, everybody needs help. But I was just touched by, here is a Marine who spent 2 tours in Afghanistan, who's gone through hell, who has, I understand, saved a life in combat, who has been decorated, who has given his life for us so that we can live comfortably and go to the store and buy the things that we want, the cars, the this and that, so that we can do that. He has been on the point fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
I don't think he went there because he wanted to go there. I think he went there. He might have wanted to go, but I think he went there because he was told to go, and he was obedient, and he was following his commander-in-chief. So he goes there. He goes through all of that. He comes back, does whatever he does, and ends up going to Tijuana and he has three guns, which he's licensed to have. And I understand he made a mistake by going into the border. He didn't know he was there in the border, and on over the border in, on the Tijuana side. And I've walked there, and I've been there many times, and it is confusing. And there is construction going on. So in my opinion, and I don't know anything, it is possible to get lost and maybe even be on the other side and not even know it.
Yeah.
And so here he has three licensed guns, and he realizes he called 911, and 911 basically says, I can't help you. And then the cops come, and then they arrest him. And I understand that they had detained him for 7 hours. He didn't allow, wasn't allowed to call his attorney or anybody. And it's another world over there.
Yeah.
You can't use the world tactics here, I think, so much as to try to implement them in there. In fact, they rebel against it.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was looking at this, I realized that I had to go. That God was telling me, this is another walk for a cause. You got to go. He's your brother in Christ. He's a Christian. And he is your brother Marine. You got to go. It doesn't make a difference if anybody agrees with you. It doesn't make a difference if anybody cares. It doesn't make a difference if anybody's going to help you. You got to go. Now, Alexis, my salary, I make $600 a month for Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I make. If it wasn't for my wife, who has a very good job, and my wife's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force and graduated from the Air Force Academy, my wife does. Also, any donations that come in, it would be difficult. But we did it. You know, my wife and I said, let's do this together. We agreed, and we prayed, and we agreed, and you got to go, honey. So I went, and I took a plane, and the plane cost around $600 round trip. I went, I did that, and then I went, and then I had to take a trolley to San Ysidro in San Diego, and then I went over the border, and before I went over the border, CBS covered it, and then I had to take a taxi. And then I had to get to the terminal, bus terminal, and I had to take two buses to get to the location of where the prison was that Sergeant Tamarisi was staying. He was staying before at a Tijuana jail, but they moved him. And I've heard of reasons why. I know that he was tortured. He was chained to the bed. He had one arm loose, and he wanted to take his life. He didn't want to be abused in any way, and he was willing to take his life, I think he said, in order not to concede to the continued abuse. But like a Marine does when he's in combat situation, and he's how they teach you how to escape. How to try to escape. Always, you know, try to find a way out. He tried to escape. They caught him. And eventually they beat him up a couple of times, I think, and then they took him to Ilongo Prison. Ilongo Prison looks like a fortress in the middle of nowhere. It's about 8 miles away from the city of Ilongo, and it's highly guarded. Guys are walking around with flak jackets, like SWAT jackets, outfits, and automatic weapons. They have, an outpost there, and then they're all surrounded. They have high towers with snipers. It's highly guarded. It's a big place, facility. He was in an isolate area. If you were looking at the front of the prison, he was on the right-hand side of the prison, isolated from the others. For many reasons, because of the publicity, the demonstrations that were going on, the fact of what he did in Tijuana. So he was under, I think, heavy guard. And I went there, and I approached the guards, and I tried to get in. And I spoke to several people, and they would not let me in. They said, you have to have special permission, and not even his mother can get in. Nobody can get in. Nobody can come here.
So there's not even any rules? Because I know at other prisons, and when they hold you, at least your mother can come in and see you, so he's not allowed even any visitors.
From what I understand, he wasn't allowed any visitors. The only one that visited him, there was a pastor there in Tijuana who visits him, I think it's once a week, and brings him stuff. And I was able to give him a Bible in English. What had happened was I met a guard outside of the prison, and he was going back to Tijuana, which was a two-hour drive, and there were no buses going back. So I was stranded. I had to try to find a way, and the guards at the gate told me, says, you know, you can just ask somebody, we'll ask somebody for a ride for you. They call me Father sometimes because they think I wear the collar and priestly garments many times, and so you look like a Catholic priest. But I'm an ordained minister, and I'm also a chaplain. And now they call me an honorary chaplain with the Marine Corps League.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in the vehicle with him, and this correctional officer took me back to Tijuana because he had to go there. That's where he lived with his wife. And we talked, and we prayed, and he was a Christian, and one thing led to another. And he said, look, if you got anything to give to him, I said, yeah, I'd like to buy him a Bible here in Tijuana. Can you take it back to him and give it to him? And he did, and he gave it to him. But when I got back, you know, that was my first trip when I got back to San Diego. He called me, Collect. That is Sergeant Tamarisi talk. When I got back home, actually, in the States, I believe he called me, and we talked for a bit. And I guess the bottom line, I want to know, are you okay? Do you need anything? The purpose of me going was to go there, be there with him, be there for him. If they would have allowed me to stay there, I would have stayed there and lived there until the trial or whatever was over with. He's been in there since March.
Wow. What can the listeners, is there anything we can do to help support Andrew, to maybe help him get home sooner, to support his family?
Well, I think that, I mean, for me, honestly, I think, one, first of all, pray. Pray for him and pray for his mother. His mother is tough. She's a tough cookie, I'm telling you, she hangs in there. And that's the thing about these two people, Sergeant Tamarisi and her, they're not quitters, because you can't be a quitter. So I was told by one of the guards there that somebody had committed suicide. He hung himself just a month ago when I was there. So I think that, you know, in answering your question, I think that, one, pray for the family. Pray for Sergeant Tamarisi's release. We're praying that God will release him. God has the authority to do that.
Yes.
And I believe that they may need some financial help. You know, I understand they have a trust fund. You have her number, I think I've given you. I think that if you call, she'd give you, you know, the information about, you know, where you can send a donation. They need help. You know, she's been going back and forth. And the trial that she had, the first trial, which I remember how long it was a number of hours, but she's a nurse, and I know she's hurting inside.
Oh,
come on. You know how moms are.
Yes.
Especially about their children, forget it. They'll fight to the end. You got a battle.
Yes.
And it's not just going to be for one day.
No.
She's a fighter. She's strong. But, you know, there's times that the devil will come in and say this is not going to happen. And so I pray with her a lot. You know, we pray all the time. I talk to her. We've never seen each other. We've seen each other in pictures, but we've never seen each other in person. And it's possible that when I leave here on the 29th to go to San Diego, she's going to be there on the 3rd. She told me where she's staying, and I told her that I would be doing a walk for sure in San Diego to Tijuana, you know, to the border, and then go into Tijuana and and be there for the court hearing and pray. Because that's what God told me to do.
Yeah.
So I told her, well, maybe you want to walk with me. So she's going to, I think she's going to do a two-block walk.
Wow.
From my walk in San Diego, which is cool. And we're both looking forward to that and meeting each other because we've never met each other.
Yeah. Do you know, have the exact date of when the hearing is?
Do I know what was that?
When his hearing is, when they're going to be doing it?
Yeah, the court hearing is on the 4th of August.
Okay.
She's trying to define now what time. Last time it was at 9 a.m. and it went on for a number of hours. There was a lot of media coverage there. I had done a walk from where I was at in Tijuana to the courthouse before and prayed. And then I left and went to San Diego, so, and then back to Virginia. So I'll be going there on the 29th, and I'll be praying and inviting, asking other people to please pray. You know, I just know prayer works. I mean, it changes things.
Yes.
It changes me to be a better person.
Yes.
It's humbling.
It's
and I'm not talking about that you have to pray. I mean, I pray all the time. I pray for people all the time. Physically, I've had people healed of cancer and all kinds of things that God has healed them. I'm not the healer. He's the healer. Jesus is the healer. I'm just the vessel that he uses to pray and use words and comfort and hold and correct and love and all of that. But he is the one. He is the source that uses me to do this. So I'll be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a pillar that just stands in the gap and
yes.
prays.
So I would also like to ask our listeners on that day to be able to maybe take a silent moment, a moment of prayer during in the morning, at night, or through the whole day. We can have a moment of prayer, a day of prayer for him on his hearing, that he will be released and that he will be, you know, come back home safe and be with his family.
I want him to come home.
Yeah.
His mother wants him to come home. There are many people who are listening wanting to come home. He's done two tours in Afghanistan. He's paid the price. He needs to come home now and live his life.
Yeah.
Heal from what he's gone through there in Afghanistan and whatever, but also heal from what he's gone through now. But I was thinking about him today, and he's a warrior. He doesn't quit. He didn't quit. And I told him that. Don't quit. You know, Jesus is with you, and you're a Marine. Don't quit. Marines, don't quit. They continue on, no matter what.
Yeah.
And there is the victory when you don't quit. Sometimes we're so close to winning, but we quit.
Yeah, and that happens so many times. They're just so, people are so close to achieving, to winning, and at that last moment, they give up. I always say it's the devil that comes in and distracts you or convinces you, give up, nothing ever, you know, nothing's going to ever change, and then you give in, but you are so close.
That's right, and that happens when we've been praying for, you know, I have a son. You want to talk about a miracle?
Mm-hmm.
I have a son I hadn't talked to in 15 years, 20 years almost. You know, no conversation on the phone. No, I have kids. And because of the divorce, it's just like an axe that came down. We loved each other, but we didn't communicate. 2 days ago, I got a phone call, and it was him.
Wow.
He said, Dad, I need you to pray for something. I need you to pray with me because I'm going through something, and I know you pray. I know you pray, and I know God hears your prayers. Well, you know, my wife has encouraged me at times. Why don't you go and see him? And why don't you? Well, I've done, and it is. There's no calling back. There's no involvement. It's just, you know, kids have a tendency to get married. They have kids that go on. They have to live their own life. But and I've always wanted. I love my kids. I love them. I love them for so much. And necessarily because he called, but because God heard and answered my prayers. He calls me since the last 2 or 3 days now. He has called me 5 and 6 times a day. And we have talked. And he's healing. He says, I feel good. I feel at peace. And even in my problem or what I'm going through and what you've shared with me, Dad, he shared this with others. You know, I feel peace when you didn't have peace. That was like only 3 days ago.
Wow.
So you see, what I'm saying is that don't quit. Don't quit on God. What I did was I just put everything in God's hands because I couldn't control the situation.
Yes. And I wanted go ahead.
I mean, I couldn't control it at all. I had tried different things, but nothing worked. And I said to God, you know what? You know my heart. You know what I want. You know I love my sons, my children. I want to be with them. And, you know, I mean, I'm married. I'm married in you 7 years now. My wife is cool. She's a woman of God. She prays, and we're in agreement, and she wants to be part of this. And so he calls out of the blue, and he needs help. And I knew what to say to him.
Yeah.
Because I had been waiting for 15, 20 years to say this to him. Most important thing, to tell him that I love him.
Yes.
That I've never stopped praying for him. That I never stopped caring for him. That I always wanted, but I didn't want to push myself on him.
Yes.
I didn't want to control him, but I wanted him to know what it's like. To go through what he has to go through in life as a man, as a husband, as a father, to go through what he has to go through, to test the waters himself. And then when you need me, whenever you need me, just like God is always with us, when you need me, call me, I'm there.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you, before the show ends, I know you have a website, globalwalk.cc. Is there any way our listeners can send you a message or contact you or follow you?
Yeah, they can go to globalwalk@yahoo.com. That's my email.
Okay.
And they can look at the website, which is globalwalk.cc. That's like Charlie. And I've met a lot of people along the way. God has opened the doors for me to meet a lot of people and say thank you to them in different ways all over the world. And they're now just putting faces up, not just names that are up there, quite a few of them, but they're putting faces up of people that I've been with, like the Pope John Paul and Mother Teresa and Bill Clinton and a number of other people that I've met them in one way or another, or presenting them an award or a gift to say thank you for it. Everybody needs to say thank you.
Yes, and I just want to say, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I would love to have you back in the future on many more shows. I know our listeners will love to hear more from you and to follow you.
I'd like to come back, and I'd like to next time maybe talk about doTERRA. doTERRA is an essential oil that I use in the ministry that I have of healing, and it's incredible. In fact, if you click on doTERRA, you'll see on my global walk, you can click on doTERRA and I'll tell you about it. A various illness. I had gone through a healing of neuropathy from doTERRA. The moment the oils touched my skin, I had no more neuropathy.
Wow.
Just incredible things. Alexis, I love you. I love all you people out there that are listening. I hope there's something that I might have said that God had put in my mind and through my mouth that is healing for you where you're at.
Yeah.
We can make a difference, can't we, Alexis?
Yes, yes, you've made a difference already. I mean, it was such a powerful show, and thank you so much, and good luck on everything. We'll definitely be in touch, and God bless you, and thank you so much for everything that you've done. You're really an inspiration and a miracle.
God bless you, Alexis, and God bless you all out there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.